If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn to Matthew chapter 25. You know, a large portion of disciples for Christ many times feels like they have nothing to offer the Lord when it comes to doing service for Him. I've heard it many times. What can I do? I'm not educated. I don't have much of this or much of that. I don't have a lot of talent. What can I do? So there is a tendency for folks to sit on the sidelines and just watch the world go by. Last Sunday, Brother Tony Wolf challenged us, reminded us that all of the disciples of Christ have been called to serve in the kingdom of God. And that all of the disciples of Christ will give an account of what we have done for the Lord. He referred to this passage of Scripture in Matthew 25, where Jesus is talking about the day when all people come to stand before the Lord. This is what Christ said. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You get that picture? And just focus in on that picture. Christ sitting on the throne. Everybody that has ever lived comes and is standing in His presence before Him. And He divides them. Like a shepherd divides sheep from a goat. Anybody here have any trouble telling what a sheep is and what a goat is? We pretty well know, don't we? Same thing, you know who a sinner is and who a saint is. Jesus separates. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the King will say, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these My brothers and sisters, you were doing it to Me." Then the King turned to those on the left and said, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me no clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and thirsty or stranger or naked and sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Lord, we're gathered in this little church here beside the road to worship you. Now it's time for your word. The word of God is always ultimate. Your word takes precedence above everything else, because your word is light to our pathway and a lamp to our feet. Your word is food for our soul and knowledge for our being. So Holy Spirit, come and open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds, that we might really pay attention and hear. And then, Lord, anoint us with the Holy Spirit, that we will be willing to put into action what we hear from the Word of God. We trust in you, Holy Spirit, to do a good work here this morning. Because we can't do it by ourselves. We need you. And everybody said, amen. You know, even the saints, when they get to heaven, after we get to heaven, will be even further judged according to what we have done for Christ's kingdom. Listen to the apostle in 1 Corinthians 3. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials: gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, and stubble, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. And the fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, thank the Lord, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Today, I really want you to consider what you are doing with what you have to help Christ's kingdom. What do you have that God can use for His kingdom? God will anoint what you already have. You don't need to go to college and get a degree. All you need to do is what you already possess and surrender it, turn it over to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and see what God can do with it. I'm going to take a few examples from the Bible. Simple things that people had in their possession that God used in a marvelous way. Let's look at Moses first of all. In Exodus 4, the Bible says, the Lord asked Moses, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. That's all he had. And that's what God was interested in. He wasn't interested in whether he had been the son of Pharaoh. He wasn't interested in whether he had an education from the University of Egypt. God was only interested in what Moses had in his hand. And Moses said, all I have is a shepherd's staff. It's got a crook on it to reach out and get a hold of the sheep and pull it back in place. It has a big long stick that I might be able to guide the sheep and direct the sheep. Look what God did when Moses used what he had for God. God anointed him, and when he did, he used that staff to do marvelous things. Remember the occasion when he came before Pharaoh and he threw that rod down and it turned into a serpent. Oh, Pharaoh said, you got nothing on me. And he had his wise men, his magicians, they threw their rods down as well. And they turned into serpents. But you know the story, don't you? Moses' serpent went around and ate up the other ones. Glory. I like that, don't you? God always wins the victory. And then God said to Moses, reach down and get a hold of its tail. And when he did, it turned back into a shepherd's staff. He used that as a symbol of power to smite Egypt and bring judgment upon them and ultimately bring victory to Egypt and set them free after 400 years of slavery. He used that staff when he got to the Red Sea. And God said, what's that in your hand? And he said, raise it up over the Red Sea. And when he did, you know the story. The waters rolled back. And the path dried out. And they walked across on dry ground the next morning. So God took just a simple shepherd's staff and used it for mighty blessings and victories through the hand of Moses. Another fellow in the Bible, all he had was the jawbone of a donkey. His name was Samson. And he picked it up, the Bible said. He was found to be facing over 1,000 Philistine soldiers. The enemy of Israel was coming in against him. All he had to bring victory to God's camp was a jawbone of a donkey. That's not much, amen? At my house, I've got a 357. I've got the judge. Amen. It's locked up in a safe right beside my bed. I have a 30-06. I have shotguns. I have everything but a bazooka. All Samson had was the jawbone of a donkey. But guess what? When the anointing of the Lord came on him and it was all over, he had a power of 1,000 Philistine soldiers, well trained to fight, laying in a heap because of the victory that God gave him with what he had in his hand. Amen. Give him praise in the house of God. There's a young fellow by the name of David, and there was a 10-foot-tall giant. David been out tending the sheep. You know the story. He came to town and Daddy said, I want you to take this cheese and this provisions down to the soldiers, your brothers, and I want you to give them to them. And while he was there, he heard this giant of a man bellowing from the lines of the Philistines, send me a man. if he can defeat me, then I and my servants will serve you, the people of Israel. But if I kill him, then you will be my servants. And David said, who is this dude? That's modern vernacular, J.D. Lay translation. Who is this fellow? Let me at him. And of course, King Saul, who was head and shoulders above everybody, said, son, go back tend to your sheep. David said, I mean business. I mean business. And so, finally, he convinced them to go down. And they put on armor, but you know, he couldn't handle that. All he had was a little shepherd sling. I was going to call Brother Eric up the other day and say, you got some spare leather up there? Make me a shepherd sling. And on his way out to see this 10-foot giant, Caleb went back to, oh my, I wish I had him out here. This teenage boy, gone down to visit this great big old giant of a man, stopped by a little stream like I did in the Truckee River a couple of weeks ago. I picked this smooth stone up out of the Truckee River in California. And he took that stone and he put it in his sling. Round and around. Aren't you glad I held on to that? It hit its mark. All he had was a stone and a sling. But guess what? With the anointing of the Lord upon him, hallelujah, he brought victory to the camp of Israel, to the people of God. All he had was a stone. Now, I can have that stone for the rest of my life, and I will know with it sitting on my dresser that that came from the Truckee River in California that empties out of Lake Tahoe. But it will never do me any good. But the stone that David had brought victory. There was a poor single mother. She had a little boy. Very poor. Famine was on. Didn't have much to eat. Matter of fact, all she had was just a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. And she was out gathering up some sticks, going to make a fire in the little oven she had in the house, and she was going to bake a cake for her little boy and herself. And she was going to eat it, and then they were going to die. She didn't have much. This Pentecostal preacher came along. I think he was on TBN. And he said to this poor single mother who was about to die, she had very little left, preacher said, give me the last little bite of cake. Sounds like something, doesn't it? She said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook the last meal, and then my son and I will die. She didn't have much, did she? But when she surrendered what she had into the hand of the Lord, into the hand of God's servant, the prophet of God, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So as did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat many days. There was always enough flour. There was always enough olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord promised through Elijah. Somebody say hallelujah. All she had to offer the man of God was a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. How many of you ladies have a little flour back home? Some of you need to go to the A&P. Any of you have any oil back there you can make a little cake? Huh? All right. I want to see those hands. I'm coming after church. Because she surrendered the little bit that she had to the man of God, God supplied the need. And guess what? That was important to God, because 4,000 years later, we're reading about it here this morning. God thought that was an important thing. So He put it in the book. How about that? We don't know her name. We don't know the name of her boy. But we know the story. Because she surrendered what little she had, God used it for His glory. Then there's the story of that little boy that went to camp meeting. He went to this grave. He saw this bunch of people gathered together, and he went down to see what was going on. Had his picnic basket with him. And when he got there, he heard a man down in the crowd, and so he worked his way into the crowd. And here was this fella preaching and teaching and doing things that were just marvelous. I mean, blind eyes were being opened, and crippled people were walking away without their crutches. And it was an amazing time. And Jesus said, hey, we need to have a meal. There's 5,000 people gathered here. Let's have a meal. And he said to the disciples, what do you got? They said, all we have is a little boy here with 5 loaves of bread. That's only one. Now wait, that's enough for me and Linda. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish. I couldn't find 2 fish this morning. Jesus said, bring it here. What did that little boy have? Did he have a bakery in town? Did he call up Rocky's Pizza and say, deliver me? Huh? Did he call GT's up in Cascade and say, hey, bring me a meal down so that I can feed 5,000 people? Woo! No. All he had was his picnic lunch that Mama had prepared for him that morning. And he said, willingly, he gave it to Jesus. He said, if this will help you out, Jesus, take my picnic lunch. You know the story. Jesus blessed it. And when he started tearing off bread, there was more left. He took the fish and he blessed them. And when he started tearing off pieces of fish, I've been to the Sea of Galilee. I've eaten that Peter's fish out of the Sea of Galilee. It is good. Not quite as good as fried chicken from Mountain Gate, but it is good. And here's that little boy handing what he had to Jesus, and Jesus took it, blessed it, broke it, and fed 5,000 people, and then took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Gold! You know, God thought it was important that he report what that little boy gave to him. And we're reading about it this morning. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what do you have that God can take and bless? How many's got a quarter in your pocket? Get that quarter out.
I've got one down. I'm not going to ask you to do something I won't do.
You don't have a quarter? Now you do. Hold your quarter up. Now bring them all up and put them in my hand. Wow. Wow. My hand's flowing over.
Get that trash out.
Somebody put a bunch of pennies in there. All right. Look how much money was extra in that collection this morning. Do you know what God can do with these quarters? Bless your heart. There's some single mother going to come to the laundromat down here at Smithsburg this week. And she don't have much, but she's going to need to do her laundry. You could take these quarters and go down and put it in the machine for her and tell her that Jesus loves her. It's not much, is it? But it might save a soul. Did you ever think about that? And you had it right in your pocket. You see what you could do with just a little bit? For the glory of God. Some of you thought, well, I can't do much of anything. But you could take those quarters and reach out to a lost and dying mother who has children she needs to raise, and those children could come to Royal Rangers and Missionettes or Girls for Christ. They could get saved, and who knows, one of them could become a missionary and go save. Is this all right? Huh? We're going to make Brother Al happy. You had that in your pocket. And you were thinking, don't worry, Al. You were thinking you didn't have much that God could use for His glory. You could take all those quarters and buy a loaf of bread for somebody who's homeless on the streets of Hagerstown. You could give it to Brother Eric to take it down to the homeless that's in the woods down in Frederick where he goes to minister. Jesus said, if you do not do it to the least of these, you've not done it to me. But if you will give to the hungry, if you will feed those who are hungry, if you will give drink to those who are thirsty, if you will visit and minister to the sick, well, that's all he's asking. You don't need to be Dr. So-and-so. That's nice. That's wonderful. Dr. Hunt's almost there. And he's going to do wonderful things with the education that God has given him. Why? Because he has committed it to Christ. his expertise is young people. And there's going to be hundreds and thousands of young people that are going to be touched by a man who has dedicated his life to Christ.
Amen.
And so what you have is all that God's asking for. Would you just bow your head right where you're at right now? You see, all he needed from Moses, from Samson, from David, from that poor little single mom, all he needed from every one of these people was for them to surrender to him what they had. All he's asking of you this morning is just surrender to him what you've got. Lord, come down this morning and touch us. Souls are dying and men are crying. We need to win them to the cross, Lord. If I can touch a fevered brow and bring comfort and whisper the name of Jesus, then Lord, I want to do it. If I can get down to the laundromat and feed quarters into a machine for somebody who can't really afford to wash their clothes and tell them about Jesus, then Lord, I'm ready to do it. Whatever, Lord, I can do, I'm surrendering it to you right now, Jesus. It doesn't matter if I'm 80 years old or 50 years old or 2 years old or 5 years old, a teenager. It doesn't matter as long as I just surrender to you, Jesus, what I have. And I'm doing it right now, Lord. I'm saying, Christ, I want to do something. I don't want to come to that day when I stand before you and I don't want him to look down at me and see a goat head. I want him to see a sheep. I want him to see somebody who has visited somebody in prison or visited somebody who is sick or gave drink to somebody who was thirsty. I want to be one of those, Lord, who is obedient to offer to you the rod in my hand, the jawbone of a donkey, the stone from a brook. I want to be him who is willing to give you a little flour and a little oil. I want to be that little boy who will give you my lunch of bread and fish. And Jesus, I surrender to you all that I am and all that I have. And I want you to use me. Use me to touch somebody else for your glory and your honor. How many can say, I've given it to him? I'm ready for him to use me. I'm ready for him to use me. Come on. I'm ready for him to do something through me. All for his glory. Not for my benefit, but for his glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may stand with me.
Say to them, what can I do for you? You did.